This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Going on a diet, it's one of the most common New Year's resolutions that Americans make. Whether it's for weight loss or more energy or just better overall health, there are a lot of options and tons of information out there. Unfortunately, the advice is often conflicting or it changes, and it's hard to know what to trust. That's exactly the challenge nutrition scientist P.K. Newby of Harvard University set out to address in her new book. It's called Food and Nutrition, What Everyone Needs to Know, and she joins me now. P.K., welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
On your website, you proclaim that nutrition confusion ends here, which is an incredibly enticing claim, but it also begs the question, why is nutrition science so confusing to start with?
Actually, I maintain that nutrition is not confusing. I think it's no more confusing than any other science. The difference is that there's so many junk science and anti-science voices in the mix, along with various other factors that contribute to a din of confusion, what I call a culture of nutrition confusion.
Then what would be your advice on how to tell good science from junk science? It's like telling good food from junk food, but...
Well, I would rather approach it a different way. It's not good science from bad science. It's listen to a science and don't listen to other stuff. So it's a matter of cleaning up your news feed, of going to the right places for advice, of not getting sucked into clickbait. So, you know, most people are not going to, you know, peer-reviewed literature. They're reliant upon science communicators like me and others with a scientific background to communicate what really matters.
Well, even if you're paying attention to the science itself, though, there is still some confusion in there just because, as you said, the science evolves, but we tend to hear about it one study at a time. And so
Correct. One
week we'll hear, Correct. You know, bacon is good for you. And the next week we hear never touch bacon again, or coffee is good for you. No, it causes cancer.
Right.
We hear all
right.
these conflicting claims
yeah.
coming from the science.
Well, no, I would say that's coming from the media and that's coming from headlines. So, for example, both of the examples you just brought up, those were legit studies, right? But they're single studies. So I refer to this phenomenon as single study sensationalism. So no person, and certainly no scientist, is looking at an individual study and saying, we should now change our diet. That's not how science works. That's not how the dietary guidelines or advice from legit people are based. So they are based on thousands and thousands and thousands of studies from around the world. So a big part of the problem is the way science is covered in the media. And again, I don't blame them because sometimes there's just bad reporting, but a lot of times it's just, we live in a clickbait world where people have short attention spans and headlines like you just mentioned actually sell, right? They get the attention, but they don't tell the whole story.
Well, P.K. Newby, in your book, Food and Nutrition, you provide those kind of syntheses of the status of research on a number of food trends or different food types. So let's go through some of the things that are trending right now. Dry January, this idea of avoiding alcohol for the month of January. Where does the science stand on the pros and cons of alcohol consumption?
That's a really good question. And alcohol is a complicated example, but again, not confusing. It's just complex because alcohol is a drug, right? So it has different effects on different sites in the body. So for example, we know from decades and decades of research that alcohol in moderate consumption, which is usually defined as about one drink a day for women and two for men, based upon different body types and so forth, is protective for heart disease. So it's helpful in raising good cholesterol, among other things, and modifying and inflammation and the like. So there's much research to show that relationship. That said, alcohol consumption has also been related. It's one of the strongest risk factors for breast cancer in women in particular. Okay, so therefore, women have a little bit of a catch-22. You know, do they want to kind of reduce their risk of heart disease? This is among consumers, right? Or do they want to keep their level, stave off breast cancer? And of course, heart disease is more common, right? So statistically, you'd think, oh, most women therefore might benefit if they drink from alcohol. But another important aspect is that alcohol is a drug and many people suffer from addiction and all kinds of things associated with alcohol consumption. So all health professionals say if you do not consume alcohol, you shouldn't, because the risks outweigh the benefits. And guess what? You can, decrease your risk of heart disease and stave off breast cancer in other ways that might have less of the risks associated with it.
So proceed with caution in that case.
Yes.
What about gluten-free diets? This has become incredibly popular. Something like a quarter of Americans now opting for gluten-free diets.
I know. Isn't that an amazing statistic?
What do we know about the possible benefits of gluten-free diets?
A couple of questions there, but let's start with a couple of stats. And you picked up on the one that I have in my book that I just think is astounding, that a quarter of people kind of are on gluten-free diets. And that's just, it's just sort of bizarre to me because gluten is just a protein found in wheat, barley and rye in particular, and it's just a protein. That's it. Now, some people, about 1%, have an autoimmune reaction, so they suffer from celiac disease. And for those people, it's been an amazing, amazing growth that in the market that there's so many good options for gluten-free. Actually, my sister has a lot of gluten intolerances and a lot of other GI issues, so I made gluten-free tarts for her over the holiday, and she was very appreciative. And so for people who have legit issues, it's really important. But the fact is, for people like, speaking of junk science and nutrition confusion, people like Gwyneth Paltrow and other celebrities are on gluten-free diets, and then they become popular. The group most following them is women 20 to 39, for example, the data shows, and they're very prone to this sort of celebrity nutrition advice. And people who, it's been shown not only with gluten, but if you cut out major food groups, you're losing all the valuable nutrients and fiber in particular that people could get from whole grains. And whole grains are beneficial in so many other ways. So it's an example where, again, the science is clear that most people should not be following a gluten-free diet. There's no reason to. It's no better than any other weight loss diet, unless you're just cutting calories, right? Which it's going to work for anything. And a lot of times you're cutting out valuable nutrients that you could otherwise need that you're not getting enough of, for example, fiber.
But what about some of the emerging science potentially linking gluten to kind of fuzzy brain, this idea of grain brain?
Yeah, you know, I'm not that familiar with that concept. I do know there's the wheat belly and the grain brain, but if you read sort of the scientific literature, you don't see things like that. Now, maybe a couple of, or at least I haven't, you know, not in my studies. I don't even mention that in my book, actually. I think a lot of the hype, there were some doctors, by the way, so it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just Gwyneth Paltrow. There are people with MDs that can contribute to nutrition confusion, often based upon limited clinical evidence, but they're not scientists, you know. And so I'm actually really not familiar with that concept, and I've never seen it really talked about extensively in the literature. But what I would say rather is that in terms of the gluten research, one thing that has been shown is that gluten is kind of hangs out with very specific sugars in the diet that could be responsible for some of this GI distress, because the increase in prevalence is real. So I'm not saying that is not that increase is real, and people are trying to understand why. And so I think that's what I would say in brief about gluten. Science is always evolving, right? We'll learn more. We certainly want to untangle why we're seeing this major increase.
PK Newby, your book, Food and Nutrition, What Everyone Needs to Know, it's a book, right? We could go through the chapters on each and every food type for hours. And most of us probably aren't going to carry a book with us to the grocery store as a reference every time we go to do our shopping and plan our meals. You know, Michael Pollan famously boiled his advice down to three really short sentences: eat food, not too much, mostly plants. Do you have kind of a short version or some broad advice and concepts people can take with them when they're trying to make some food choices?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't have the three phrase, you know, that Michael Pollan does of yet, but I have a couple of things that I think, you know, make sense. One is that, you know, plant-based diets are key. And they are most sustainable for the environment, and they are most strongly related to your health, longevity, and wellness. So focusing on plants, and that doesn't necessarily mean becoming a vegan if that's not of interest, but focusing on plants, incorporating more plants into your diet is the key. And and that's, of course, part of Michael Pollan's advice, too. So that's a good point to say that some nutrition advice has been around for decades and decades and decades and decades, which is eat more vegetables, fruits. And guess what? No one does it. So people look to that magic bullet for nutrition, whether it's gluten or whether it's these, you know, the nutrient du jour, even coffee. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And so my own expertise, for example, focuses on the whole diet. I don't really look at individual things so much because it's the whole diet that matters. So I don't really care if someone had, you know, I have a thing for butter tarts. I already mentioned them once. That's a Canadian delicacy. Like, it's a Canadian treat. So it's like people sometimes like are embarrassed about eating cake around me. I was like, I would like a piece of cake, please. You know, like food is meant to be enjoyed and celebrated. It's not just let food be thy medicine. It's also a key to culture and tradition and all kinds of good stuff. And it's the whole diet that matters most.
PK Newby is adjunct associate professor of nutrition at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health and author of Food and Nutrition, What Everyone Needs to Know. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Have a healthy and delicious new year.